Thank you, Donna. I hope that's all of our prayers, that we would continue to go up for the Lord, continue to go to higher ground and not be satisfied. Hopefully none of us are satisfied where we're at. We don't want to be stuck in a rut, as we talked about last week, but we want to gain new heights for God. We want to do better things, more things. As we learned last week, God has greater things and new things that he wants to do in our life, not just the same old things as we head into this new year. So we're continuing on in a series, kind of a new year thoughts, and today I wanted to talk to you about the importance of teamwork. If you've been watching any of the bowl games or those, you'll see that teams that work together win. But when they stop working together, they lose their motivation, they lose. And sometimes it's not even a matter of talent and ability, but how they can keep motivated in that journey. And sometimes when we're facing problems in our life or situations we're trying to overcome, we try to do it by ourselves. But I'm convinced that God wants us to get a team around us to win. And so I put on your outline this morning under introduction section, most problems are not individually based, but they're caused by a broken system that needs to be fixed. Think about in your own life, you know, maybe a child's acting out in school, he's doing bad, getting in trouble all the time, and really it's because there's something going on at home. Maybe the people are fighting, or he's upset, or that's causing it to work out in his life. Maybe you're falling asleep on the job at work, and you're almost ready to be fired, but there's something that's keeping you from getting sleep. Maybe you have sleep apnea, maybe it's the weather, or the kids, or your schedules just aren't working out. But it's more than just this one problem. Maybe someone in your household's out of control. Maybe they're angry all the time. Maybe they're upset. Maybe they're depressed. Maybe there's somebody that's addicted to things that is influencing everybody else's life. My situation, you know, with being diagnosed with that AL amyloidosis and then having to go out to Boston for 6 weeks, it didn't just affect me. It affects everybody's life, my family's life, the church's life, and it took a whole team approach of everybody trying to come together to say we're going to make it through this time, we're going to solve it. And so here's the key thought I wanted to put on your outline for you. If you don't remember anything else today, I want you to remember this key thought: teamwork triumphs over obstacles. Teamwork triumphs over obstacles. God always works in teams. He himself is not even an individual. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, he works with us. He understands that most problems are not individual problems. It's a system, and therefore, most problems require a team effort to overcome. So there might be things in your life that you've been trying to overcome, or things you wanted to see changed in your family, or things on the job you want to see changed. Most likely, you're not going to do it by yourself. Most likely, there has to be a team, and maybe God's calling you out to be a team leader. I'm going to take you to Nehemiah, who's one of the great leaders in the Bible, about how he comes back to Jerusalem and helps rebuild the walls. And so using that as an illustration about how to build a strong team. So God might be calling you out to be like a Nehemiah, to be a team leader, to set this up for success in your family or in your life, or maybe you'll be one of the team players, but maybe you'll understand the importance of team this morning. So I want to take you to Nehemiah. If you want to turn to Nehemiah in your Bible, you can. You can follow the scriptures up here. I'm doing it a little bit different. Instead of reading it all together at the beginning, I'm going to various times during the sermon read different parts of this Nehemiah passages, and you can follow along up here on the screen. If you want to use your outline in the bulletin, that'll help you follow that as well. But let me just tell you that Nehemiah's job of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem was a big deal. It was an overwhelming project. It was like 1.5 miles to 2.5 miles around the city. And it wasn't like putting up a garden fence. It wasn't just stringing some electric wire like I put in my backyard when those plastic fences just around. It took me a long time just to do that and try to dig down through the clay. It was nasty. That's not anywhere near a job like he had to do. These huge walls that were built to keep enemies out, you know, were up on a hill and they had been burned and broken down. And so they were all down, these big, huge stones down at the bottom in these valleys, and they were covered up with rubble and it was a mess. The boards and stuff that was there was all torn up and burned up, and so they'd have to clean up the rubble, get these big, huge stones and move them back up into place and rebuild these walls and these gates. It's not a small task. And Nehemiah didn't live there. Now, he's coming from a distance, from a different country, didn't know who the stone masons were, didn't know who the people that worked with lumber was, and he's coming in to try to lead this big task. And the people were discouraged. They had already given up on that. They had a history of failure. They had tried 90 years before to rebuild this wall after they came back to Jerusalem. They couldn't do it because of the enemies. And so all the people grew up with a mindset and their parents telling them, you can't do it. And it's not going to work and we're just defeated. And so it was a big task. But God brings Nehemiah together with the other people there and they do it. And they win and they restore glory to God and they win the victory. So what I would tell you is that with God on your team, you can do anything. Things that have been impossible in the past. Things that are too big for you to do on your own. If you get that concept that teamwork triumphs over obstacles and not just you doing it, God can put a team together that can help you win in these areas in your life. So how do you develop a strong team? Number one, you need to team up with God. Nehemiah knows that this job's too big for him. And so, first of all, I put in your outline under A there, pray for God's wisdom and guidance. Too many times we think, well, I know how to fix this problem. I know how to deal with this issue. I can go to this doctor. I can find a solution for this. I'll work out this relationship thing. But Nehemiah says, no, it's too big for me. I need God on my team. So let's read about Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at a fortress of Susa, and Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. And they said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. Now listen to this, he says, when I heard this, I sat down and I wept, in fact, for days. I mourned, I fasted, I prayed to the God of heaven. And finally God comes and gives him the answer and says, I'll be with you and you can go. But he didn't try to do it on his own. And I want to tell you, if any of our government leaders, if any of our leaders or people who think that they have all the knowledge and finances or whatever, try to solve problems on their own, they're going to fail. But if they'll go to God, and if they'll say, God, will you help me? Will you be on my team? That's where you can find success. Now, the Bible says that God gives grace to the humble, but he despises the proud. So when people think that they can do it on their own, he's not there to help them. But when you cry out to God and say, I can't do this, I need you, he will come to your aid. So you need to team up with God. You do that by praying to him and seeking wisdom and guidance, and B, by praising him for what he's doing. If you look at Nehemiah, and as I was going through this, Nehemiah is constantly giving praise to God. God helped me. God brought this to my mind. God helped these leaders do this for me. God is working this thing out constantly. And it's not just about us praising God, praying to him, but it's telling other people, telling them their story, letting people know there's a bigger force involved than just us. That's part of that motivation. There's a God behind this. You know, it's kind of like angels in the outfield, if you ever saw that movie about, you know, these angels are lifting this guy up and he can hit or he can make, you know, throw or whatever and do these supernatural things. We need to know in these hard situations, there is angels holding us up. There is a God holding us up. There is something beyond us will enable us to pursue and find victory in these areas that are difficult in our life. So the first thing you need to do is team up with God, and you need to understand that teamwork triumphs over obstacles. So even teaming up with God, you're going to do better than you would by yourself. Second principle I see here is that with a select group, you need to evaluate the problem. So many times we jump into a problem, we think we know what it is, and we might be wrong. We didn't take the time to get the information. We didn't time to evaluate what's going on, what's causing the problem. And because of that, we never go anywhere. We don't accomplish it. But he takes a team and he evaluates it. Look at chapter 2, verses 11 through 16. So he gets to Jerusalem. He says, so I arrived in Jerusalem, and 3 days later, I slipped out during the night, taking only a few others with me. So he didn't go by himself, but he took a select few so they could see too. I had not told anyone about the plans God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. So he wasn't going to jump to conclusions, tell them what his plans were. He wanted to evaluate it first. We took no pack animals with us except the donkey I was riding. And after dark, I went out through the valley gate, past the jackal's well, over to the dung gate to inspect the broken walls and burned gates. They always had weird names, too, for the gates. I don't want to live by the dung gate either. That doesn't sound good to me. It's probably a smelly place. They probably dumped all the dung out there. That's probably what it was. But then I went to the fountain gate. There must have been water there, and to the king's pool, but my donkey couldn't get through the rubble. So though it was still dark, I went up the Kidron Valley instead, inspecting the walls before I turned back and entered again at the valley gate. The city officials did not know I had been out there or what I was doing, for I had not yet said anything to anyone about my plans. I had not yet spoken to the Jewish leaders, the priests, the nobles, the officials, anyone else in the administration. So before I go out and I do all this, I'm really taking time. I'm really evaluating it. We want to skip that step. Okay, we want to rebuild the walls. Let's come on, let's do it. We don't know what it's going to take. We haven't done the work, and because of that, we can't motivate anybody else to even be on the team. So this is the hard part that we need to do, this evaluation. A is gather information about the problem. I think about that at church so many times. We want to grow our church, and we want more people to come, and we sit and we don't do the work that we need to do to get informed. We just think, well, maybe this will be different. I'll try this, maybe that'll work. We don't go to the other people that stop coming or to the younger people and say, well, what would make it better or why don't you like it? Is there a different time that would be better? Is there something else that would work? We skip all the steps of trying to find information to fix something, and we think it's going to work. So it's that old thing, if you always do things the way you've always done, you're going to get the same results you've always gotten. So when you have a problem, whether it's at work, at home, or whatever, do this work of evaluation and really what's broken down and how can we fix it and what needs to be there. You need to do that hard work. B is design a plan of action, not only to see what's broken, but how can this be fixed? And I think a lot of times we miss part C, and that is think of a way to implement your strategy. It's not only making a plan to rebuild the wall, but how am I going to get other people to join me? How am I going to get there in the first place? Nehemiah was a master of thinking way ahead and how what steps I need to do to get there. I want to read that to you. I'm backing up now in chapter 2, verses 5 to 10. Before he even came to Jerusalem, he knew he had to go through certain steps. So let me read that with you. Verse 5, he's talking to his king before he left. I replied, if it pleased the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, how long will you be gone? And when will you return? After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. I also said to the king, if it pleased the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territories on my way to Judah. And please give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I will need it to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, and for the house for myself. So he knew he needed protection. He knew he's going to need resources. And he got these letters ahead of time. And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. And when I came to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, I delivered the king's letters to them. The king, I should add, had sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me. But when Sanballat and Horonite, the Tobiah, the Ammonite official, heard of my arrival, they were very displeased that someone had come to help the people of Israel. And those are the enemies that are going to come against him. But you see how Nehemiah had a plan to implement. Way back, I'm going to talk to my king. I have to convince him to let me go. I have to get some resources along the way. I need protection. These other kings are going to have to give me a pass through. And so all those things he had thought about before he ever even brought a plan of rebuilding the wall to these other people. So if you're going to accomplish this teamwork that you need to do, you team up with God, you select a small group of people to evaluate the problem with you and be informed and implement a plan. And then we come to number three, which is then try to team up with others. Get other people to join you in this process. If you want to win over this problem at home, at work, you're going to have other people join you in the process. You can't do it by yourself. How do you do that? A, make a general plea to others for help. So he does that in chapter 2, verses 17 to 18. He gets all these officials and everybody together. He puts out this general plea. Let's read that together, chapter 2, verse 17. But now I said to them, you know very well the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. So he puts out this general plan. And then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversations with the king. So he already had a plan, and he already had said, God's working. God can do this. This can be implemented. God's worked so far. He's helped me with this king, with this king, with this. I have the resources in place. We can do it. So he had the plan set, and he gives it to them. And then they replied all at once, yes, let's rebuild the wall. He got them on board, and they were ready to begin this good work. So you make a general plea, but I wanted to say one other thing, and that is place a direct challenge before those you need most on your team. So you do a general plea and you see who comes along, but there are some people you know you're going to need. I need a bricklayer. I need somebody that can work with wood and put up these big beams. I need somebody who can help get rid of this rubble. Who's specialized? Who has equipment in that? And sometimes, instead of just making a general plea, you need to make a direct challenge to them. Have you noticed that? People that are the most busy or the most talented, they're not just going to respond to just something you throw out there, rebuild the wall. But when you go to them and say, I need you. It's kind of like recruiting for a pro team or even a college team. I need you. I need a wide receiver. I need somebody that can block up front. I need somebody that can be a good quarterback. I need you. I'm challenging you out. I'm calling you out. And people that are talented and gifted, many times they'll respond to an individual call. So sometimes you need to do that. As I was preparing, I read about the importance of challenging on a team. Dale Carnegie tells of a mill manager whose men were not producing. And the owner, whose name was Charles Schwab, asked why, and the manager had no idea. He said, well, I've coaxed the men, I've pushed them, I've sworn and I've cussed at them, I've threatened them with damnation and being fired, but nothing works, they just won't produce. And so this Carnegie or Charles asked him, he said, well, how many heats did your shift make today? And I don't know about a mill or heat, but I imagine that's some sort of production thing, how many heats that you were able to do and produce a certain amount. Schwab asked him that, and they said six. Without saying another word, Schwab picked up a piece of chalk. He wrote a big figure six on the floor. Then he walked away. And when the night shift came in, they saw the six, and they asked what it meant. He said, well, the big boss was here today, and someone said he asked how many heats the day shift made. And he told them six. He chalked it on the floor. The next morning, Schwab walked through the mill again, and that night shift had rubbed out the six. They replaced it with an even bigger seven. And when the day shift reported the next day, they saw this bigger seven. And so they said, well, the night shift, they think that they're better than us, right? And so they said, we'll show them. And so they pitched in furiously, they worked harder, and by the time they left that evening, they rubbed out the seven, they replaced it with a 10. So it was a 66% increase in just 24 hours, all because of Schwab's challenge. People need to be challenged. When you challenge, how many people are competitive? You like to be competitive. People that are competitive, even on those teams, you challenge them out and say, can you beat that person? Are they better than you? Sometimes you just have to lay down the challenge. So when you're in trying to develop your team, and people need to have a great challenge in front of them, and sometimes they need to be recruited and called out individually. I put on the back of your outline a quote that I thought was really important. It kind of spoke to me as I was preparing for this, and maybe it will speak to you. When you're trying to develop your team to overcome whatever you are trying to overcome in your life, Arnold Toynbee was a great English historian. He said this, apathy can only be overcome by enthusiasm, and enthusiasm can only be aroused by two things. First, an ideal which takes the imagination by storm, and second, a definite, intelligible plan carrying that ideal into practice. First of all, you've got to be so excited about rebuilding your wall or coming against this challenge, you have to make it in multicolored form that captures someone's imagination. I want to be a part of that, like Disney World. Wow, that's a huge thing. I'd love to be a part of that. Maybe that's why we have to do these big multimedia presentations and stuff to capture people's imagination, but somehow you have to capture their imagination. This is not just a ho-hum, just another thing. This is a big thing. Rebuilding the walls is a big thing. Rebuilding our families is a big thing. Overcoming this problem in our families can be a huge thing. Overcoming this financial obstacle is a huge thing. And you've got to create that and get people excited about that. And secondly, you have to have a definite plan. You have to do the work and say, these steps can be done. And when people say, I can follow that, I can do that, then they get on board and join. So those things are important when you're developing teamwork, because teamwork triumphs over obstacles. So I'm challenging you today, as you think about those problems, those situations in your life you want to overcome. It might be a financial obstacle. It might be a building project you're going to do. Maybe you have a wall you need to build up, or maybe you have a wall you need to tear down. Whatever it is. Maybe it's a medical issue in your life. Maybe it's a relational thing, but we're going to solve this. You need to get a team. And so you need to, first of all, pray to God and say, God, help us. I need you because I can't do it. You need to get a select group of people. Not before you tell everybody else, but say, would you look at this with me? Would you evaluate this with me? Would you seek God? Would you help me put in some things in place? This will work. We can do this. And then present it to the whole, and then call people out and challenge them. Will you be on my team? Will you help me do that? And so that they want to go forward. And the final thing that you'll see as we continue even in the book of Nehemiah is you've got to keep your team motivated. I've seen a lot watching some of these bowl games. Anybody watch some of those games? You could see where one of the team would finally give up. Some went for a long time. They're getting towards the end, or maybe they're overtime. But you could see it on their faces. You can see when people just go, I'm done. They stopped playing. They stopped winning. And that's what happens even with when they're rebuilding this wall. They give up and they stop. You know, even halfway through, the rubble's too high. So a way of developing that team, and that's what's happened in your life sometimes. You've got to motivate people to keep going. And how do you do that? Now, let me just read this final passage out of Nehemiah 2, 19 and 20. It shows about the opposition starting to come against them. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab heard of the plan, they scoffed contemptuously. And they started making threats and other things we're going to see next week too. What are you doing? Are you rebelling against the king, they ask? And I love Nehemiah's reply to them. He says, the God of heaven will help us succeed. Again, it's not about me. He said, God's going to help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall. And I like this. He says, but you have no share, no legal right, or historic claim in Jerusalem. So why don't you just go home? Now, isn't that something good? He tells them, you know, you're going to try to threaten us, but you might as well go home. You have no claim. I almost think that's what we ought to say to Satan, too. You know, with him, with God on our side, can't we say to Satan, you have no legal right here. You have no claim here. You're not going to hold me back here anymore, so why don't you go home? You know, and so you got to keep your team motivated, and you got to keep pulling back to God that he's powerful enough to do that and motivate you to win. How do you keep your team motivated? A, keep them informed. You got to inform them of the progress. So many times we as leaders, we see progress, we don't tell the people under us. You know, so Nehemiah is constantly saying, God did this. He helped me get to this king. He's done this. We rebuilt this wall. This gate's going up. You've got to keep your people informed. B, help them see and celebrate short-term victories. You can't, you know, when I was going through the stem cell thing, I said, just do one day at a time. Don't look at a week. One day at a time. You know, celebrate your daily victories on the path to keep yourself motivated. And C, solve problems as they come up. If you don't solve these threats, you don't solve those intimidations, and they're going to come up. I'm going to talk about that over the next 2 weeks, about how you deal with opposition, because people will oppose you. They don't want you to win. So how do you deal with that? You have to deal with them as they come up to keep your team motivated. So remember that teamwork triumphs over obstacles. You've got to get your team together, and you've got to keep them motivated. You have to keep them unified and on track. A lot of stuff just thrown around to you, but you need to hear something. Maybe one thing will stick in your mind today. And I want to go to this application section as we wrap it up. Then you can go and eat your dinner. I know you're getting hungry. But I want you to ask yourself these questions about something in your life that maybe God's calling you out to be a leader to fix. The first is this: is God calling you to be a leader to fix a problem in your area of influence? And I think you can know that if you have a broken heart about something. You're tore up about something. When Nehemiah heard about this wall, he said, I can't sleep. I can't eat. I'm horrified about this. It's terrible to me. That would be a call that God's calling you to be a leader. God's calling you to step up and say, let's fix this problem. And next question, are you willing to seek God's guidance on how to proceed? Not trying to rely on yourself, not trying to think that you can do it, but seeking God's guidance. He will help you. Next question, are you willing to plan and conceive of a solution for the problem? That's the hard work, the planning, the implementation, the steps. You can't get other people on board until you can show them how to do it, and you need to work at that even before you present it to others. Are you willing to recruit others to help you? Or are you always trying to do it on yourself? And again, it's teamwork that triumphs over obstacles, not individual ability. If you're not willing to get others, you'll probably fail. And finally, are you willing to put other areas of your life on hold until the problem is fixed? Nehemiah says, this problem is big enough, and I'm tired of it. I'm going to leave my homeland, where he was, and all the blessings he had with the king. I'm going to go to his distant land. I'm willing to put some things on hold because that has to be my priority. If you're going to win that big battle, you've got to make it a priority. It's going to have to focus your attention. You're going to have to work at it, and it's have to be something that's really passionate in you to win. But what I want to tell you is teamwork triumphs over obstacles, and God wants to bring that in your life if you're willing to pay the price and